Blog Talk Radio.
Grown man shit.
People should never be accused of being violent or advocating violence. In America, when a black man says, I have to defend myself, you should call that what it is, self-defense. And if America has the right to defend herself from her enemies, the black man in America has the right to defend himself from his enemies. If it's all right for, please, I don't want to hear that, because all that hand patent has been done long enough.
I hold my marker like Huey P. teller's revolver, plotting vengeance to some bullet shells, sell to Martin, I'm stressed, puffing cigarettes, going through cartons, I'm back, since the Panther leaders went up on charges, upset, I'll never meet them, but I'm with them regardless, my guess, they die for freedom, then they die as the martyrs, they're blessed, but some shit needles in the pissy apartment, obsessed, by thoughts of treason, what they did to the father, Jesse Jackson in the face of his best in assassins, but wait, if I meet him, I'ma hand him a magnum and whisper in his ear, leaves none of them standing, it ain't fair, he ain't here, you still appearing at pageant, imagine gags in the dungeon, swords guarded by gunmen, beating me, but I'm sworn to mark in secrecy,
I feel you, son.
They will never weaken me, for the struggle till my fate reaches me.
You either pimping the system or getting pimped by the system. No one, no slice of the pot. We want control of the kitchen. Gotta get this bread up, nigga. Handle business and boss up. Ain't no slack and a slipping, perpetrating a shortcut. The spirit of love, putting in work on the grind. Gotta sacrifice that blood, that sweat and that time. If we see it, we need it, we want it, we get it through both. Plotted and planted, they own it, committed like roaches till we make it happen. It ain't no mystery, God. It's guaranteed when we move scientifically, God. It's like planting a garden. I'm just a seed of garbage in the field, trying to see the fruits of the harvest. Aiming long range, grown folks do grown things. Can't let the game change me, I got to change the game. I'm thinking long range, grown folks do grown things. Can't let the game change me, I got to change the game.
One hand wash the other, both wash the face. Now real, recognize real, homie, stay in your place. What about the revolutionaries giving their lives? My soul's on ice, it's like I got blood in my eye. The price of freedom is bleeding, I ain't committing no treason. Why they hate my black skin? God, give me a reason. My mother say I'm an angel, women say I'm a monster. I grew up in the hood environment, lived amongst the thugs, the killers, the gangsters, the streets, they feel us. Ain't nothing realer than the feeling when you loving yourself. Just be a man, take a stand, don't be begging for help, help. My regulation is building my black nation. I'm running out of my patience. You owe us some reparations. Guns blowing, blood flowing. I ain't trying to be waiting. Out of control. Selling our souls to Satan, 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 Satan. Larry Davis.
Nowadays, wars wage quietly through secret societies. Nobody don't fight back. We sit back silently. Reality hit hard. That could cause riots. See, they dumbing us down. Medicated with nonviolence. Television is Ritalin. They locking up the militant in you. But the struggle continues and they imprison you. You in your dome, your home, your zone. You alone, petrified and deputized. Something is gone wrong. And you were agent of the state? Well, wait. Cause if you really wasn't choosing your side, somebody choosing your fate. Because the systems don't fight fair. Guerrillas don't fight fair. It's warfare everywhere. Look, it's right there in the gated communities. They hating on you and me. And Bush's economy, all these efforts is the streets. In this dog eat dog world, we gotta fill our stomachs. And we taking back what they took. Knock, knock, we coming, we coming, we coming.
No doubt it's going to be a brighter day. But before we get to the brighter day, we got to talk about some of the darkness always that definitely has occurred in history. And being that this past week was Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, we felt that it was only right that we get into his assassination. Before we get into it, let's talk about some things first. Like, for example, our cruise, which that is coming up March 21st through the 25th. We want everybody to be there, so make sure that y'all get the flyer. You will find the flyer on www.draalimelbey.com. That's draalimelbey.com. draalimelbey.com. And you can go to the calendar or the upcoming events, and the flyer is there. You can get it from off of there, or you can check us out on Facebook, Dr. Ali Mel Bay. That's with the dash in between the L Bay and without the dash in between L Bay. All right. Also, my wife got a beautiful blog on which that she got going on, and that's also on www.draalimelbey. And we got some more coming things for you. But let's get into the information. Now, I know it was around the time around 2003 that an article came out in the Final Call. All right. Of course, it was later retracted, but in the original article of the Final Call, I think it was edition 22, number 46, Kwame Ture's son, Eric Muhammad, actually was the editor or one of the writers of that particular article. In the article, matter of fact, he ended up getting, I believe, fired from his post for that. As well as also, it stated that Coretta Scott, now, this is in the original article, it was saying that Coretta Scott, of course, you know, Martin Luther King's children, they all believed that Jesse Jackson had something to do with the death of Martin Luther King. All right, as a matter of fact, it states, sitting by his side was, it's talking about Reverend Bernice King. She was the only one in which that was out of her brothers and sisters that was there that attended the SCLC convention. And she stated that we came here engaged in a civil suit. 70 overwhelming witnesses was called to testify about who killed Martin Luther King Jr. Americans, some here, say it was James Earl Ray. But James Earl Ray was just a unknown patsy. All right, now that's what she said. All right, it goes on saying that President, you know, Reverend Bernice King, who was the head of the SCLC at the time, challenged the motive of the National Civil Rights Museum, which was developed out of the remains of the infamous Lorraine Motel where Dr. King was murdered. According to Mr. King, the museum refused to acknowledge the King's family. In the SCLC efforts to correct the lies, the Institute continues to convey, he said, particularly that James Earl Ray was the lone gunman. He additionally laminated that although the case of the century in December 1999, which concluded that there was a government conspiracy to kill Dr. Martin Luther King, the museum still refused to place the findings on the trial on exhibit. All right? Now, not only do they refuse to place those findings, but, I mean, it goes further. It goes even deeper. On April the 8th, 1998, Mrs. Coretta Scott King, her son, Dexter King, Reverend Walter Fauntleroy, and former United Nations Ambassador and Mayor of Atlanta, Andrew Young, met with the United States Attorney General Janet Reno for over 2.5 hours and demanded a new federal investigation into the King's assassination based on new evidence that came to their attention that the family alleged that Reverends Jesse Jackson and Samuel Cowell or Billy Cowell are complicit in the assassination of Dr. King. Complacent in the assassination. Now, for those who might have seen Baba Steve Coakley's Assassination of Dr. King video, along with Dick Gregory, William Pepper, and others, I think that is something in which that you definitely have to get in order to go into more details. But we're going to do an overview and come back and show you how some of this actually took place and actually what Baba Steve Coakley actually told us. And I have to give props out to Brother Steve Coakley because he opened my eyes to the in-depth research on the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King back in 1995 when I first seen him at the AU, which is the Atlanta school, colleges, I guess you can say, or universities. there in Atlanta, Georgia. And I think it was at Clark Atlanta University in particular where I seen him at. All right? And that was my first time meeting him personally, you know. And even though I've seen some of his videos before then, you know, but it was still the fact of being in that presence. And he broke down how all of that took place. You know, it was on a small scale at that time. Nothing big as he did with Dick Gregory some years later. But I got to give that shout out because I actually talked to him a week and a half or so before he passed. And he told me that they was after him and that they tried to kill him when he was in the hospital. So that is something on which that we have to make sure. I mean, we have to support our leaders, you know, our people who's doing the work, you know. You can't always think that somebody's getting over, but they need support. Look at Dr. Ben. You know, Dr. Ben is 95 years old in a nursing home. That's ridiculous. You know, 95, getting ready to turn 95 years old in a nursing home. You know, the Empress, you know, is in her upper 80s in a nursing home. So, you know, we can't keep doing this to our leaders. We got to definitely begin to start doing something much more powerful, you know, in particular taking care of our leadership. Now, let's go to some more info here concerning this case. Matter of fact, a year later, that case finally did take place in the conspiracy trial, King versus Lord Jowers and other unknown conspirators began, with a jury concluding that the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King was in fact the result of a multi-level governmental conspiracy. Okay? The trial was the first time any jury had the opportunity to hear theories on a murder conspiracy. I think it was 6 blacks and 6 whites on the jury. They deliberated close to 3 hours before returning to a verdict, with a verdict, and awarded the King's family $100 in damages. You know, it wasn't about the minimal damages or the monies, you know what I'm saying? It was more about the interest in a verdict that would support their belief. And the jury was clearly convinced that the extensive evidence that there was present during the trial showed that in addition to Mr. Jowers, a conspiracy of the mafia, local, state, and federal governmental agencies were deeply involved in the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King. And at the conclusion of the trial, check this out. Messy Jesse wrote an editorial in which that appeared in the L.A. Times affirming the jury finding, and he says, for those of us who were with Dr. King in Memphis, the lone assassin theory always seemed suspect. James Earl Ray had neither the means nor the methods nor the motive to stalk Dr. King, shoot him, and arrange his own getaway. Reverend Jackson wrote, despite these misgivings, the lone theory, assassin theory, becomes the near universal explanation. Deviation from it was too forbidden, for any conspiracy will point directly to governmental involvement, or at least consequently in King's murder. All right, or at least, you know, that's what he was saying. So he himself said that it was governmental involvement. Let's go to see what Brother Steve and others say about it. Yet, according to the SCLC conference panel, fact or fiction, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., a part of the new evidence concluded that Reverend Jackson and Reverend Kyle were part of that assassination attempt. As a matter of fact, Steve Coakley goes in, and he even questions what Reverend Jackson was doing and what Reverend Kyle was doing at the particular time of Dr. Martin Luther King's shooting. Now, the panel consisted of Dick Gregory, Steve Coakley, Attorney William Peppers, for James Earl Ray and Louis Garrison, Martin Luther King III, Reverend Benice King, and others. They entertained questions regarding someone knowing that Dr. King was to be on the balcony at the Lorraine Motel at 6 p.m. And someone, if not the same person, had to be responsible for freezing Dr. King on the balcony in order for the murder to take place. Now, who did that? Jesse Jackson. All right? It's a known fact that Jesse Jackson was in the parking lot and he yelled up to King on the balcony right when the shots rung off at 6:01 p.m., stating, our leader. All right? It was even reported that the assailant, that the assassin was instructed to shoot the individual who did not have a tie on. Now, Reverend Kyle was the one in which that was attempting to coerce this tie thing in which that was going on. Steve Coakley goes more into that, and you can hear him talk about it. But he was talking about how the tie, he was with Dr. Reverend King, all right, in the room, in the hotel room. That's where Reverend Kyle was. And Reverend Kyle was trying to get him to, I guess, possibly not wear a tie. And King wanted to wear a tie, and I guess they ended up not having one. And so you'll see King without a tie on, all right, in the shot. Now, Steve Coakley goes over this, and he says that, as a matter of fact, he said, he was here, and I stood there. And this is what Reverend Kyle said now. He said, only when I moved away so they would have a clear shot, then the shot rang out. Now, that's what Reverend Kyle said. He said it's in a news conference videotape, April the 3rd, 1998. Okay? So, once again, he said, he was here and I stood there. Only when I moved away so they would have a clear shot, then the shot rang out. Now, I don't know how fitting that is. I don't know how fitting that is for Reverend to say, let alone you saying that it's only when you moved away that they had a clear shot. So not only did Jesse Jackson freeze frame Dr. Martin Luther King in the from the parking lot by saying our leader or our exalted leader or something he said like that, all right, paraphrasing. And at that time, Kyle knew that was his mark in order to move away from Dr. Martin Luther King so they can have a clear shot, as he said. And this is what they say. They telling on themselves. So he was invited to the public to the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis in commemoration of the 30th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King assassination. All right, and the videotape was played for the SCLC delegates at the assassination panel. So shocked was the public at this revelation in 1998 that the tape eventually became part of the evidence during the 1999 conspiracy trial. And Mr. Kyle testified at the trial and presides today over the National Civil Rights Museum. He did not attend the panel discussion, although he appeared at the presidential speech of Martin Luther King the day before. And an invite was extended according to the conference organizers. All right? So, this is what we do know. Now, when we get into the weapons, you got Judge Joe Brown. Yes, Judge Joe Brown, who you've seen on TV many a times. All right? Served as the state's 30th Judicial District, presided over James Earl Ray's appeal. And Mr. Ray, of course, you know, we know that he died April the 1998, not seeing his day in court. You know what I'm saying? died of liver cancer, miraculously right before the court's date. Now, Judge Brown believed that Mr. Ray could not have acted alone and that the rifle examined could not have been the weapon used in the assassination. He challenged the expertise of previous investigators associated with the case, and as the weapon expert himself, he's the only one to ever conduct a, I guess you say a ballistics, you know, on the metal, all right, or the metal analysis on the alleged weapon. And the levels of expertise was extremely low. They had long histories of being able to look at bullets under a microscope and use relatively primitive technologies to make an analysis subjectively. Now, they have very little knowledge, if any, about rifles and firearms in general, he told. All right, so this is what he said. He said, simply put, the rifle that they had in evidence is not the murder weapon, he said. It would appear that the weapon that was used to kill Dr. King was a 308 7.62 NATO weapon or caliber weapon. He said that the weapon in evidence is a 30-odd shot six, which is 1 in 10 inches rifle and twist that would never sight, and that when tested was concluded by a number of other tests. So he says that that's not even the same weapon. Okay? So, these are some discrepancies. And so we know there was a conspiracy because none of the pieces are fitting together. All right? And so much of the evidence introduced during the panel discussion also involved the question of foregoing knowledge on part of Reverend King assassination and the part in which that Jesse Jackson played, specifically if he was responsible for removing from the Lorraine Motel 15 minutes before the assassination a community group that was there to protect Dr. King. Now, who was this community group? They was known as the Invaders. It was known as the Invaders. All right? And the Invaders were a militant group out of Memphis. Now, the thing was is that they included a undercover agent by the name of Merrill McCullen, who was the man standing over King after he was shot in the balcony. All right, so McCullen admitted under oath that he furnished regular reports on the Invaders' activity to Lieutenant Arkins, his Memphis Police Department Intelligence Bureau control officer. Okay. If you see the picture, you would see him, McCullens, Merrill McCullens. Now, when King was being shot, this is the same black devil in which that was doing CPR on a shot victim and sucked out the very last breath out of Martin Luther King. Okay? In order to make sure that he was dead so he can report this back to his people. All right, this is no coincidence. All right, he was an informer with the, you know, with the so-called, you know, and actually was also a driver for King's entourage. That's who he was. All right, so that was connected to, you know, the FBI and their intelligence gathering system, or what's called COINTELPRO. All right. Now, this is what Brother Steve Coakley said. He said the Justice Department said in their June 2000 report on the investigation and the evidence and the court proceedings that he could not have possibly instigated their removal. The Justice Department concluded that they was aware of no document exonerating Jesse Jackson, and that Jesse Jackson said that he could not have possibly gotten the community group off the balcony because he did not even know they were staying in the hotel. This is what he says. Now, that's not true. Right now, Steve goes on to say, he said, now I raise the question about the conspiracy to cover up. Now, is it a question of perjury? Because documents do exist that articulates that Jesse met with the community group through a report of reformance used by the government at the Lorraine Motel. And the documents articulates who was in the meeting and what the results of the meeting were. He explained Jesse was instrumental, according to the documents, in Billy Cowles being assigned as liaison to this community group known as the Invaders. There is an authentic government intelligence report that collaborates Jesse's involvement with this community group at the Lorraine Motel, contrary to his denial under the oath of the United States government investigators. So why would Jesse lie? Why would Jesse lie? Well, the thing that we found out that when King was laying on the balcony, Jesse scoops up Martin Luther King's blood, and according to a report, matter of fact, from Brother Marcus Williams, Marcus X, as well as also, Brother Corey Johnson, who was actually students of Brother Steve Coakley too. They did a, actually, they had a, I guess you could say a video in which that they did some years ago, in which that eyewitness account saw Jesse scoop up the blood of Martin Luther King and smear the blood on his shirt. And then you see him later in news reports, all right, I think it was CBS, he goes on that morning, flies back, and tells the story that he was the last to hold Martin Luther King in his arms. So that instantly puts him up as the next rank, even though the individual, if there was anyone to take over from Martin Luther King, it would have been Ralph Abernathy. Okay? If there was anyone to have done so. And then Ralph, of course, writes the book, The Walls Come Tumbling Down, in which he subtly states a homosexual affair, in which that, based on other reports, that information is also put out by the FBI. So we don't know how much of this information is true because it's all being leaked. And there are people who was close to Dr. Martin Luther King who was part of this assassination. Okay? Who was part of this assassination. Now, Mr. Cowles also collaborated Reverend King's involvement with the community group at the hotel. All right? So that is definitely true. He had involvement with them, and it was him who was supposed to have actually gotten them out the hotel 15 minutes before, but obviously everyone did not leave because we see the agent, Merrill McCullers, over the body of Dr. Martin Luther King when he's shot. And right after, they're pointing, you know, misdirecting. Now, who said, now the question is, it's brought up because actually the shot came from the other direction. As a matter of fact, the shot came from behind the bushes at the lower level on the left-hand side of the restaurant in which that Jowers actually was running, in which that he was paid $100,000 to participate in the killing. Now, you would see two men, it was actually from an Ebony magazine. They took the shot from the balcony, all right, of King, prior to him getting shot. And it was two white men behind the bushes, and you can actually see them. And this was actually in a 1970s rememberable edition of Ebony. Now, the next day, we know, April the 5th, 1969, those bushes are cut down. They're gone. But prior to, being that it was springtime, it was a lot of foliage, leaves everywhere. And behind those bushes, you can actually see two white men, one with glasses on. The one with the glasses on, we suspect, had to have been Jawas. Now, the other one is the actual assassin. Now, Jawas, as we said, had mafia connections. They paid him over $100,000. But these, but we got to understand is that the COINTELPRO used the mafia in order to do their dirty business. And Memphis is known to be a mafia location, just like Las Vegas, just like Chicago. All right, so Lord Jowls, who was that Memphis cafe owner, you know, he participated in that plot. And, of course, in 1993, in a television interview with ABC, Jowls, who was 73, reported that the mobsters offered him that $100,000 to have King killed. Since the interview, Jowls changed his story several times. He was unable to testify at the trial due to illness. His lawyer, Louis Garrison, told the jurors they could responsibly conclude King was a victim of a conspiracy in which his client was involved, but that his role was minor because he was the one to take the gun after the assassin and take the gun back into the restaurant and wait for it, the gun to be picked up the next day. Now, the individual in which he spoke about was this guy by the name of Raul. Okay? Spoke about this guy by the name of Raul. Now, you can find this in William Pepper's Orders to Kill book that was published in 1995, in which that he alleges the involvement of the mafia, the FBI, the CIA, and the military in the assassination. In other words, COINTELPRO. That's COINTELPRO. It's not just the FBI and the CIA. COINTELPRO is also the military and also the mafia. That's what people keep forgetting. All right, so William Pepper, who was the former lawyer for James Earl Ray, you know, wrote in his book that that who was behind the conspiracy and the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. All right? All right, now we got to understand that shortly before King was killed, he publicly denounced the war, the Vietnam War, and he began to address social issues such as poverty that went beyond the pervasive discrimination, discriminatory practices, you know, being used against African Americans. It started becoming more inclusive. So he was in Memphis in 1968 to lead a march on, I think it was like 1,300 sanitation workers on strike for better working conditions and wages and benefits. That's what he was there for. All right. Well, we do know that James Earl Ray, who was the passy, was picked up in London several months after King's assassination and returned to the United States. And he confessed to the crime in March 1969 and received a 99-year sentence, but he recanted his confession 3 days after he had made it. And for the next 29 years, fought to basically rescind his guilty plea. And states and federal courts upheld the plea on 8 separate occasions. All right, so Ray met with Martin Luther King's son, Dexter, in a prison hospital shortly before he died of liver disease in 1998 and told the son and told Dexter that he was not responsible for his father's death, for Martin Luther King's murder. And after that, William Pepper joined forces with the King's family to file the wrongful death suit. All right? Because Jowers has stated that he hired a man to do the killing. The libel charge was filed against him. All right? And this is, of course, what we was talking about when this that trial had over 70 witnesses who was present by the defense. Among them were the members of the King's family, the brother of James Earl Ray, William Fauntroy, formerly a member of the House Selective Committee on Assassinations, and New York-based attorney and expert William Stratt. All right, so much of the testimony focused on the extensions of operations carried out by the FBI against King, those involved in the civil rights struggle. And on August the 25th, 1969, the FBI chief, of course, J. Edgar Hoover, approved a major counterintelligence program called COINTELPRO to disrupt and discredit left-wing organizations and civil rights demonstrations and anti-war protesters. Now, King was against all of that. Okay? King was all of that and against all of that. All right? He was what they called a left-wing organization, civil rights demonstrator, as well as also an anti-war protester. And the fact that he came out and publicly stated that he was against the war. And he was against poverty and them spending all this money for war instead of feeding their people. All right? Right, and that's from a book of Where Do We Go From Here, you can get, in which that was written by Dr. Martin Luther King, in which that in the last 3 years of his life, he became more revolutionary. Matter of fact, he even started talking about revolution. And he told Harry Belafonte that he felt that by doing integration that he was bringing his people into a burning building. But we know that J. Edgar Hoover was convinced that King was a communist, and described him as being the most dangerous man in America and a moral degenerate, and was obsessed with following King's activities as he was from the 1920s with Marcus Garvey on up into the 1970s with even the president, Nixon. He followed everybody because he himself had a form of self-hatred, knowing that his ancestry goes back to the Hoovers from out of Mississippi, and that he had black blood. He himself was a said, quote, mulatto. But he was trying to hide all that fact because he wanted to pass for white. So in one incident, King's alleged sexual escapades was used in an attempt to blackmail him. Shortly before the assassination, Hoover distributed an internal memo to the FBI calling for King's removal from the national scene. All right? Now, as a matter of fact, when we look at it, it was called a COINTELPRO program, Black Nationalist Hate Groups, Racial Intelligence, March 4th. This was a month right before King's assassination, 1968. And it says goals for maximum effectivity of the counterintelligence program and to prevent wasted effort, long-range goals are being set. One, prevent the coalition of militant black nationalist groups. In unity, there is strength. In truism, there is no less valid for all the trittiness. It says, an effective coalition of black nationalist groups may be the first step towards a real Mau Mau black revolutionary army in America and the beginning of a true black revolution. Prevent the rise of a black messiah who could unify, electrify the militant black nationalist movement. Malcolm X may have been such a messiah as he is the martyr of the movement today. Martin Luther King, Stokely Carmichael, and Elijah Muhammad all aspired to this position. Elijah Muhammad is less of a threat because of his age. King could be a very real contender for this position should he abandon his supposed obedience to white liberal doctrine, nonviolence, and embrace black nationalism. This is actually what was taking place in the last 3 years of King's life. And you can read that in the book, which that we just made mention of, Where Do We Go From Here?, which has been out of print or is hard to find. It's a real hard to find book, but read it, and you will see where King was actually going into a revolutionary doctrine. And it says Carmichael, to my Stokely Carmichael, who is Kwame Ture, has the necessary charisma to be a real threat in this way. Three, prevent violence on part of black nationalist groups. This is of a primary importance and is, of course, a goal of our investigative activity. It should be a goal for the COINTELLIGENT program or the counterintelligence program to pinpoint potential troublemakers and neutralize them before they exercise their potential for violence. Four, prevent militant black nationalist groups and leaders from gaining respectability by discrediting them to three separate segments of the community. The goal of discrediting black nationalists must be handled tactically in three ways. Check this out. You must discredit the group and individuals to first the responsible Negro community, Second, they must be discredited to the white community, both the responsible community and to the liberal, who has vestige of sympathy for militant black nationalists simply because they are Negroes. Third, this group must be discredited in eyes of national of Negro radicals, the fellows of the movement, the followers of the movement. This last area requires entirely different tactics for the first two. Publicity about violent tendencies and radical statements merely enhances black nationalists to the last groups. It adds respectability in a different way. A final goal should be to prevent the long-range growth of national black organizations, especially amongst the youth. Specific tactics to prevent the group from converting young people must be developed. Now, you got to understand, this is why, more than likely, Father Law also was killed or assassinated. All right? And he was shot up in the projects 7 times in an elevator. Symbolic, of course, to the 7 within, you know, the Nation of Gods and Earths, or the 5% flag, you know, developed by Shamgard. All right? But he was shot up. And so we can see, and he brought the information to the youths. All right? We won't say who's behind it. All right? But it's been speculated that the government was behind it through via IE, members of the Nation of Islam, just like it was with Malcolm X or El-Hajj Malik al-Shabazz. Now, it goes on. It says targets, primary targets of the co-intelligence program or the counterintelligence program. Black nationalist hate groups should be the most violent and radical groups and their leaders. We should emphasize those leaders and organizations that are nationwide in scope and are most capable of disrupting this country. This targets members and followers of the what? Student Nonviolent Coalition Committee, which is SNCC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, SCLC. Now, remember, King's daughter, Bernice King, was over that. All right, it says RAM, which is the Revolutionary Action Movement, the Nation of Islam. All right, officers handling these cases, and those of Stokely Carmichael of SCLC, of SNCC, and H. Ralph Brown of SNCC. Now, of course, we know what happened with H. Ralph Brown, all right, or Jamal Alameen. All right, I actually had the brother who told me that he shot at him. You know what I'm saying? And now, of course, Brother Jamal Alameen is now in prison. But they allege that the cops shot at Jamal Alameen, but yet not one bullet or scrape was ever found in him. So there's a lot of discrepancies with that story. Right? And then it says, of course, Martin Luther King of SCLC, Maxwell Stanford of RAM, and Elijah Muhammad of Nation Islam should be alert for co-intelligence suggestions. And we know they were. And you get a book called The War at Home, Covert Actions Against United States Activists, and What Can We Do About It? All right? Now, and that's by Brian Glick. Now, this is all interesting, because we will find that this is what they're still doing today. Nothing has changed. If it's not broke, don't fix it. All right? But this is the conclusion in which that happened. Deputy Attorney General Eric Holder, who is now also the Attorney General Eric Holder, told the press that the Memphis verdict would not be impactful and wouldn't have any impact on the ongoing Justice Department review of the King's assassination. The Justice Department, which initiated a review on the case during that time, requests that King's widow, Coretta Scott, of course, who have passed on, know, peace and blessings, is expected to issue the report during that time. And it says, according to Holder, it is very unlikely that the criminal charges will be brought on or brought against, or that the government will alter its position that James Earl Ray was the lone gunman and that there was no governmental conspiracy involved in the King's assassination. We basically understand that, being that this is where, from out of the Department of Justice, which is the FBI, FBI is up under, will also think so. We would think so. So, we understand that definitely. And wonder if he still holds the same position today as being the Attorney General. We know that the rest of the King's information will not be out until 2027. So we still got 14 more years in order to find out, you know, what else was involved in this particular case. All right. So we're gonna come back to the phone lines and with some questions. And I'm gonna bring on my co-host. So get ready for some questions, y'all. Getting ready to hit you up with some good music first. And we got Children, the Lost Children of Babylon. Let me get to it here. I'm having some difficulties, so just bear with me. And we're going to check out. Oh, yeah. Before we get to the music, let me say this, too. My wife just brought this to my attention, is that for those in which that's suffering from high blood pressure, diabetes, prostate issues, liver problems, lungs, immune deficiency, whatever the case is, hydrogen peroxide, 8% food grade can definitely help with that. As a matter of fact, you can go to our website, once again, www.drlimelbey, that's DrAlimelbey.com, and you can go to Herbs and Health, and you can see the video in which that is called the 1 Minute Cure a Day, in which that speaks about the hydrogen peroxide 8% food grade and how it actually helps with removing all types of ailments. Because it oxidates the blood, it puts more oxygen within the cellular structure, and life and death begins at that level. So we're getting ready to hit you up with the Eye of an Embryo, and that's the Lost Children of Babylon.
And I shall be raptured up by a whole life being, and taken to the seven heavenly abodes of the Elohim, where my mind wanders, where angels feet ponder, upon the illustrious celestial waters of the Semoeti. I begin to walk the firmament of paradise as I lose Idris and Deva. Behold the center of the sons of the green light, beheld through the eyes of 70 and 6 trillion embryos evolve a mathematical miracle that has arisen from the depths of the primordial abyss of Pharaohs, that releases his spirit from his car, separated from his body, planted within a monster fire, formulated inside a cylinder shaped sarcophagus. May I recite the supplication from the sacred emerald tablets of Tamaray and kiss the crystal sky and become a golden socket, like Horus while walking with Osiris through Heliopolis, opening up the center of my iris and penetrating through stereogramic photosynthesis of synthesized synthesis of telekinetic telekinesis. I bring forth a metamorphosis that simultaneously has the same correspondence as the formation of the stars, with metaphors piercing through celestial mirrors through the black light with black doors. I walk with black up within the black pyramid as I become one with the omnipresent and omnipotent and the existence of an omniverse, a parallel universe between Earth and the Sun. So I ask this question once again, where was life created from? Is it because the solar system? Because it's one sun, it won't look within the answer to this question. So I read my thoughts from the solar system and embed my soul inside the depths of this microphone and simulation within a black hole. Yo, if I launch you into space, for how long would you bug out before you realize that you need oxygen and shouts? Spout forth black light from my orbital. Inside of all, y'all get sucked into my portal as I centrifugally absorb all electrons in my radius, transform them into protons so that there could be no hate in this section of my plane of space and rhyme. Microbiologists try to isolate my enzyme, define it, inscribed with 10 lines of commandments. The nucleus made of granite, they try to vanish like belief in life on other planets. No matter how they map their planet, they just can't seem to overcome
understand it, implanted with ignorance. 10% is smudging God's fingerprints, tampering with evidence. They counting bills while I'm counting on my heaven sins. They recompense for their density as they feel the heat from my ethereal intensity. Babylon next to me, crossed off the list, it's meant to be. Lost children standing next to me, translating simplicity from the utmost complexity. Resurrecting God's body through lyrical trajectory.
Through the eyes of 17 and 6 trillion embryos, I behold my soul as it begins to explode like a black hole so deep, looking for hope. Yes.
In a new millennium, rising like Prometheus in a hedonic sun section of America. Initiate circuit imposes, government made semi-robots, negative mentally and physically, unmasking secret society plans. The internet craze will soon become the biochip sound waves that interrupt the human brain waves from the spiritual states. Transform, cannibologists glance over the land in a trance, ascending in the atmosphere to see America return to the fiery furnace of the hellfire. Revelation from the unwritten children, behold the golden dawn of the day of morning. Pranayama meditation with united brotherhood warnings. Came bio survival in the land that ran, acquired war rivals. My arrival across the river now to meet Rothschild. Unfold the knights of the Templar, the Tsar, Saint Sirius, chakra seated in the fiery chariots of the gods.
No, 76 trillion years ago, out of the soul of green light broke the seraphim. As the light became dim, hence the creation of the cherubim, jinn and the luciferians. An equinox which is 24,000 years appears to be history's renewal. And the capstone lies the eyes to symbolize Big Brother, undercover's politician, abolition of world government, descent from the thoughts of Anna Wisehop. And he compiled with the Rothschilds to devour the new world order. Seraphims descending depending on Revelations, chapter 12, verse 7. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels were cast out of heaven. The abode of Malach, a liquid depicted as angelic beings, extraterrestrials of celestial origin. Allah used the signs of the circle and the square to prepare 99 elements from which came intelligent life forms, born on Terra, era up to the protozoa, evolving into the metazoans, from which they split, one the diapsid, the other the synapsid, developing rapid, giving birth to the Dimitrodon, the first animal to roam the surface for the purpose of Khalifa. Let us take you to a time when our spine used to be a scale used to regulate body heat to keep from burning. To keep from learning, they destroyed the etymological meaning, leaning more towards mythological definitions, giving birth to gold, Easter apparitions.
You had life before you were born into your body. It just seemed to be ignited by lightning and electricity through a void. This image was humanoid, individual, bright spectacles, heightens its senses through the opticals of embryos into their sensitive lenses. This emphasis is psychological, the identity of masses, model behavioral patterns, because the idol will mortalize, modify the systems, alternating this paradigm of conscious motives. The ability of syllogistic, logic, intellect, organic, and natural programming is unconscious. Directives certified by careful introspection, a major goal for the spiritual aim to establish proper expressions in our daily life. People will follow in these perspectives. We are that which perceives the imperceptible fetal tissue, underlying unifying attributes, composing molecules from material finite particles and a laser physical organizations. Formation of persons, reptilian fibers, the flower of life, booming at velocities, forming a body in the shape of beehives intricately. We draw shells where the spirit dwells, angels on the angle, visit Fibonacci spiral. The mother of all living organisms is a chaotic goddess, matches changes of skin and the flesh matrices. So in a ski, she possesses debris, and you reap this will be in Genesis.
Through the eyes of 17 and 6 trillion embryos, I behold my soul as it begins to implode like a black hole. So you looking for hope, this.
Be back, and I'll be getting ready to go to the phone lines. Bring on my co-host, Brother L. You there?
Peace, God.
Peace, God. How you doing tonight?
Doing well, God. How you doing tonight?
Doing well. Be doing well. Hold on. Be getting ready. Bring in area code 901. 901. You on the line? Peace.
Yeah. Peace.
Yes, peace. We can hear you.
Hey, man, it's so coincidental that I hit you up today. This is Chill Will. I hit you up on Facebook. Dr. Ali.
Yes, Brother Chill Will. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm calling from Memphis, as you know.
Exactly.
And something touched my spirit today, and I told you I was gonna hit you up.
Right.
I don't know how I did it today. And you were talking about when I first got on. You were talking about the King conspiracy.
Exactly.
And, and believe it or not, man, on that picture where they're pointing after the shot,
right?
The young lady that you see was my mother, man.
Oh my God, for real?
Wow.
Real talk.
Oh man. Okay, so she was the sister who was out there on the balcony with them then.
Correct. And she was 18 years old. She was a student at it was Memphis State University, University of Memphis now. She was a student back then, and she
right.
was I think she was there to interview Dr. King. Man, and unfortunately she passed in 92 of cancer, but yeah.
Right.
Man,
was she a member of the invaders as we've been speaking about?
I know she was revolutionary. Her and my aunt, they were always marched. I'm not sure if they were members or not. But,
right.
I mean, I was a young dude when she passed. I was only 10 when she passed. But, I mean,
right.
She never talked about it much. But she was influential. She was always marched. They would do sit-ins and everything back then.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it amazingly coincidental that I hit you. Something hit me in my spirit to call you. Because, you know, I just been out there making, you know, working and whatever and whatnot. But I found it so coincidental that you were talking about this subject at the time. And then I spoke to your queen earlier because I called, but she said you were getting ready for the show, man. It's so coincidental that you were talking about this. And when I tell people that's my mom, they were like, man, for real? It's like, and they can't believe it. But in fact, that was my mother, man. That's so crazy. It's so crazy to happen like that.
No doubt, and may she rest in peace, you know what I'm saying, alayhi salam, peace and blessing be upon her, and really, we can, you know, it would be interesting in order to have found out if she was actually part of the invaders, because, like
right.
we were saying that, you know, based on the so-called information, we know that Merrill McCullins, he was a so-called agent who infiltrated
right.
the invaders. You know, who was there on the balcony, you know, in order to make sure that King was dead, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And your mom was there in order to report on that. So that was definitely
right.
So coincidence, you know, with Jesse Jackson supposedly have gotten them out of the building, you know, you know, or had some type of involvement with them, even though he claimed that he didn't. But
right.
Reverend Billy Cloud stated that he did. So,
yeah,
so that
thought,
was
yeah.
also some alluding things in which that showed it too. Matter of fact, I remember that Jesse Jackson Jr., you know, told Brother Steve Coakley that his father, talking about in reference to Jesse Jackson Sr., would have to pay what happened, you know, with King.
Wow.
His own son told Steve Coakley that. And Steve Coakley told us that. Saying
right.
back in the early 2000s and late 1990s. So, you know, that's definitely some interesting things there, brother. But definitely stay in contact with me and give me a call and we can definitely bill. Or either you can stay
that's
on.
That's what's up, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm definitely staying on, man. I just wanted to pass that information, man, because like I said, I found it so coincidental that y'all was talking about this, and I've actually I've done a little research on it. I remember a couple of years ago when I watched, I saw Dick Gregory doing the conspiracy thing, and he showed Billy Kyle. You know, he said we got out of the way so they could have a clear shot. He, you know, he spilled the beans, but you know he wasn't trying to do that. But you know, he was trying to catch it. But
fraudulent slip, and that slip was able to put that videotape as part of the trial. You know,
exactly.
what I'm saying,
right.
in which they did see that the people did see, you know, the jury did see that it was a conspiracy. You know, what I'm saying
right.
to assassinate Dr. Martin Luther King, and that there was no right. long, you know, gunman, you know, James Earl Ray. You know,
right.
so that definitely goes to fit the puzzle.
Correct.
But hold
yeah,
on,
man,
Eric Coates.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on, man. I'll holler at y'all. Peace.
No doubt.
Peace. All
right.
We got area code 312. Area code 312, you're on the line. 312, you on the line. Bill Cole, 312, you're on the line. All right.
Okay.
Okay, that thing, he was trying to come in. All right, hold on. Let's see if he can come back in. 312, Eric Cole, you're on the line. Got a lot of background noise.
Steve, boy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sum up.
Yeah. All right. All right, I guess we're still waiting for calls to come in, but let me go back over some things because we know that was Martin Luther King's anti-war stance, you know, which gets very little attention in today's discussion, but that is what really was the matter of how and why he was assassinated.
Really, he was changing, like you said, from a peace stance to a revolutionary stance.
So exactly, you know, his message started increasing and becoming more radical, you know, as he railed against, you know, building up money for the poverty programs, you know, for the poor, and to, you know, to the war, you know, in Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? King also noted the immorality behind the violence and the arrogance of the United States government as it marched on to war.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, even though he was initiated as a Brulé member, King's, you know, just like, you know, with W.E.B. Du Bois, began to realize is that, you know, being a passive Negro sitting on the sidelines isn't going to cut it for what we are being oppressed, dehumanized, denationalized, you know, within, matter of fact, King started moving away from civil rights, and he started saying that we have entered into this human rights.
Right.
We started moving away from the Constitution, and we are now moved into human rights. King said this. So he's becoming.
I was afraid that he was going to get on the nationality and birthright issue also.
Bingo. He would have. That's exactly where that would have led to. You know what I'm saying? There's no doubt about it because that's where he was. He was already leading towards that way, and so was Malcolm X. And both of them was, you know, was 39. And I don't think that was no coincidence. You know, within occult teachings, the age of 40 symbolizes spiritual maturity, and they both murdered at the age of 39. You know, so they never reached their spiritual maturity, but that's where they was going, you know, through, both of them was going through it, you know, the last few years of their life. Matter of fact, what is not popular, popularly known is that Martin Luther King, after 1966 until his death, you know, which was a very slight change in direction to Martin Luther King to start to turn to volume up on his principles. Such a change will redirect his agenda from nonviolent protests in the context of Negro movement to an assault on the hypocrisy of the United States government and his involvement in Vietnam.
That's right.
And it goes on that Martin Luther King was not assassinated for his passive views. Significant information revealed by researcher Steve Coakley, it says William Pepper and others have raised the very real possibility that Martin Luther King's assassination as sponsored and arranged by the United States government and not the actions of the lone gunman in James Earl Ray, and said, why would a government assassinate such a peaceful man? And the reason why is because he was no longer dealing with peace. You know what I'm saying? Or it says a government function is derailed onto foreign situations along with what the homeland must be secured. Meaning domestically, there must be a dissent and oppression or opposition. It says such an unwanted dissident at home may lead to government as to utilize aspects of the military domestically to quell disturbance or disruptions. All right, and it says this costs money and the manpower, which if the dissent continues, the government would, in a manner, face the possibility of spreading itself too thin. This was one of the reasons for the secretive co-ops of the peace movement, the civil rights movement, the women's movement, and the black power movement by the FBI and the CIA, amongst others. Basically, while you're carpet bombing innocent Vietnamese civilians and raping their women, and it is a irritant, irate for a people at home to morally chastise you to a point of civil disobedience. As long as Martin Luther King was to go, man, keeping Negroes in line with passivity,
right,
in order for the government not to deal with the militant likes of Malcolm X, it was cool.
Right.
But when he started going out of line, you know what I'm saying, and started talking about, you know, them using these monies in order to feed the people, you know, that's when it became an issue.
Right. What they've done, they had turned a lot of the black ops and operations that they were using in Southeast Asia and turned it on King and brothers like him.
Yeah, matter of fact, King said, I can never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghettos without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. Now, this is what he said. Matter of fact, he goes on, a good many observers have remarked that if equally could come at once, the Negro would not be ready for it. I submit that the white American is not even more unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Basically, what he was saying is that a good many observers have remarked that if equality could come at once, the Negro would not be ready for it. And he says, I submit that the white American is even more unprepared. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if things was really dealing on an equal basis, they wouldn't be prepared for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, and so he's going. I mean, man, there's so many things that he said. And
yeah,
all of this is coming from, where do we go from here? And he said, many of the ugly pages of American history has been obscured and forgotten. America owes a debt of justice, which it has only begun to pay. If it loses the will to finish or slacken in its determination, history will recall its crimes, and the country that would be great will lack the most indefatigable element of greatness, justice. So he was saying that based on American history and the ugliness of it all, that America owes a debt of justice, talking about to the people in which that they have dehumanized. And if they don't correct their errors, then in history, you know, and based on the elements of the crime of the country, you know, they will lack justice in that regard. You
right.
know, so over and over again, he was going at them. And so
right.
his message of, you know, just, you know, we shall overcome, you know, that started going out the window. You know,
yes, sir.
Only
thought that wasn't working.
Right, he started to broaden his ideology, you know. And matter of fact, this is where you see him meet with Malcolm, and actually their philosophies was actually heading towards each other. You know,
they couldn't have that.
Right. Malcolm went to go meet with Martin Luther King, and you'll see them in the shaking hands. Matter of fact, Martin Luther King met with Elijah Muhammad. You see them sitting together. So all of this over and over again kept showing how united front. And remember, I read the document by COINTELPRO up under J. Edgar Hoover, or Gay Edgar Hoover, as we would say, you know, Mr. Transvestite Man, Drag Queen Man himself.
Right.
You know, that is what actually took place. You know what I'm saying? So out of that self-hatred, you know, as we see with J. Edgar Hoover, you know, Gay Edgar Hoover, his gayness was based on the fact of him not wanting to produce children. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So they would come out, you know, black. So it was out of his self-hatred, so much so of his so-called blackness. You know what I'm saying? His, and I doubt if he knew anything about Moorish information, even though he might have been a Masonic Shriner. He only knew it from the perspective, you know what I'm saying, of the fact of what is told within the Shriners, that the Moors must be held down and never
right.
come to power. You know what I'm saying? And that's the position in which that he was working from, and that's what the COINTELPRO was actually set up on.
Yeah, I didn't know he was a mulatto.
Yeah, he was a mulatto. You can actually go and check the Hoovers from out of Mississippi, in which that he actually was born from, and those was you know, black people, or Moors. They was Moors. And
wow.
so whenever you go and check it out, you know, you would see, you know, that that's his lineage. You know what I'm saying? And so by him trying to hide his lineage, as most people, you know, who are that light, you know, want to pass, you know what I'm saying? you would see those particular correlations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most people don't know, while the Kennedys was planning, along with the government, Martin Luther King's assassination, they was planning his assassination as well.
Right.
At the same time.
Right, right.
You know,
well, they was planning, yeah, you're right, because Robert Kennedy was killed no more than 3 months later. You know, I think he was killed July 1968, excuse me. You know what I'm saying? So Robert Kennedy was killed just, 3 months later. You know, we're talking about May, June, and then July, 3 months later, Martin Luther King. Hoover was involved in that also. You know, because we know that Sirhan did not, you know what I'm saying, act alone.
No, he could have.
Right.
Not to defend the position in which way Bobby Kennedy was killed.
Well, the reason why is because Bobby Kennedy was going to become president. He would have became president. And the thing was is that he would have continued on the work of his brother, in which that was actually to abolish the Federal Reserve Bank and actually to issue greenbacks, you know what I'm saying, through the United States Treasury.
That's right. That would have been the end of the Federal Reserve.
And that was through the, so once again, that was, through American interests. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't put that in the, Oliver Stone didn't put that in the movie.
No, but that was through the United States, interests. You know, that's what they was working on. So here it is, Martin Luther King was disrupting them at wartime and could have incited a war, being that he was becoming more revolutionary and actually could have became the messiah over the revolutionary movement, with his theology of moving away from, so-called nonviolence to saying protect yourself if violence are perpetrated against you, because that's where he was moving towards, you know what I'm saying? And so that would have been a whole different game, ball game. And there it is, the Kennedy brothers, was involved in, basically abolishing the Federal Reserve Bank. And as a matter of fact, the Executive Order 11000, if I'm not mistaken, was the order in which that Kennedy actually wrote up, JFK actually wrote up concerning the United States Treasury Department doing their own thing, once again, as compared, based on the Constitution, I think producing them greenbacks as compared to getting monies from the Federal Reserve Bank. So,
wow.
So all of these things was connected to government interests, and we're talking about even higher than government interests, because a lot of them, did not know, or did not have the understanding or overstanding of what was taking place at that time. But this information has definitely come out now based on various, hundreds of books on which they're out, based on the internet, based on, all these eyewitnesses, and all these people in which that comes forth and spill the beans, and leak, the information. So we know that these are the things definitely in which that was going on. There's no doubt about it. So
yeah, that would have affected the Bank of England,
right,
if they had went through. If Kennedy had got a chance to do what he wanted to do, that would have affected the Bank of England. It would have affected the whole Western monetary system.
There's no doubt about it. And so we know that also that Martin Luther King was a member of the Boule. And we know the New York founder branch of the Boule was W.E.B. Du Bois. And, so when we're talking about the Boule, we know it was a so-called secret group of black men who were sworn to secrecy through their Masonic obligations and the Masonic secret society to which they belong to. And their oath of secrecy is based on everything in which that's been taught. It's based on the skull and bones.
Uh-huh.
Right. Matter of fact, the Boule was started by Henry Minton in 1904. And according to the Boule history book, which was written by this Charles Wesley, who also wrote the Alpha Phi Alpha history book, it is written that the founder, Henry Minton, patterned the Boule after another secret society from Yale called the Skull and Bones. and we should have former George Bush and his son, as well as also Prescott Bush, all belong to. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, so if we understand that Skull and Bones is a society of white supremacists, you know, in so-called anti-black secret society, you know, why did Minton patent his, you know, all so-called black male organization after the Skull and Bones? You know, this can be answered by understanding the covert mission of the Boule. So the covert mission of the Boule is to protect the kings. That's what they mean, the advisors to the kings. And in Greek, the term Boule means advisor to the king. So this is such a king in these times. Who would that be? You know what I'm saying? Is that the president? No. That is the families like the Rockefellers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, right. They are the most powerful family in the Western Hemisphere. That would be like the Rothschilds, which
right.
is the most powerful family in the Eastern Hemisphere as far as European-wise.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, there's families out of Africa and in India and in also out of the Arabs, you know,
right.
camp, in which that, you know, can actually rival these individuals based on the gold and based on the diamonds, based on the oil. However, it don't seem to be as organized as these groups saw. So we know that these groups was put in place. For example, it says Boule is an invitation-only secret society mainly comprised of predominant and successful doctors, lawyers, businessmen, economists, and educational professors.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it says, and it goes on, that they did not revolt against the master, or they would meet the fate of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was a Boule member. Or they may meet the fate of Mickey Leland, who also was a Boule member. And remember, Leland Plain was a liberally crashed, but so was Ron Brown. Ron Brown was a member of the Boule, and look what happened with him.
That's right.
But what happens is that when they break their oath, you know what I'm saying, as being obedient, you know, to this particular society, you know what I'm saying, as being, you know, those advisors to the kings, when you break away from the, attempt to break away from the kings and their objectives, you know what I'm saying, you know, that is what happens. So it's best not to take an oath at all. If you're going to be about it, then you're going to have to be about it, you know what I'm saying, without that oath taken. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it goes on. It says, another point that has to be brought out is the fact that the Boule members have children that they spawn into all of the black Greek fraternities and sororities.
Mm-hmm.
Frat and sorority was founded after the Boule was founded, which occurred on the beginning of this past century. Now, we know that it is 1904, was founding of the Boule. Right after the same year, you have the Alpha Phi Alpha, which was the first black fraternity. Then you have the AKAs, the Alpha Kappa Alpha, which is a female branch. You know, then you have, of course, the finding of the deltas, of course, of the sigmas, the gamma, sigma gamma rose, as well as also the omegas, as well as the kappas. But we know that these are the eight fraternities, sororities, four apiece, in which that is often known as making up part of that Hellenistic council, in which that the Boule, which is the ninth council or ninth member of that council, sits at the helm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know this for a fact. So we know that they was formulated in order to battle against groups such as Garvey, Prophet Obadiah Lee. You know, in other words, all these Pan-African movement groups or nationalist groups. And see, that's the thing, that they don't understand when Pan-Africanist speaks about the Moors in regards to Pan-Africanism. They forget that both groups are nationalists. We deal with nationality. We deal with nationalism. So it's the same thing. And so we find that like dealing with these particular people, we have these Boule members that always go against, you know what I'm saying, these revolutionary or nationalist people.
Right.
There's no coincidence with that. You know, this is what they do. They join these particular organizations or infiltrate them, or do as we said within the COINTELPRO information. They either go into one of those three areas, you know, in order
right.
to disrespect and dehumanize and disregard the leadership and the qualities and begin to defame the people, you know, and the leaders, you know, of these particular of the people of the groups, you know. So we know that this is their objective, is to be the buffer between the grassroots organization and, you know, against, you know, them who sits at the helm as the so-called elite. All right. So,
another reason Martin Luther King was killed because he had broken his oath.
Right. Exactly.
Boule.
Exactly. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. And that's what we're seeing more and more and more, you know. And these Boule members are the gatekeepers, you know, in that regard. You know, and I could break down a lot of metaphysical things behind it, but we get into it probably in another session, you know, based on just them alone, you know. Matter of fact, there was a... I guess we'll break down a little bit of it now because there was something in which that was interesting. I remember seeing back in the days, still on X-File. There was an episode on X-File. I think it was like around November 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And it says they were showing an assassination killing of JFK and Martin Luther King Jr. and then finally an alien being assassinated. They were trying to tell us that there was all three was connected. You know, and so 2 weeks later, Dark Sky shows a black ET being involved in the civil rights movement.
Huh.
All right.
Wow.
So the connection is this, that we do know that it was the Jews who financed the civil rights movement because we know that they're the ones who formed the NAACP.
Right.
Association of Advancement of Colored People. And that word colored was popularized through W.E.B. Du Bois, who was the founder of the New York branch of the Boule. Now, the connection is this goes further, that they even wrote the speeches for Martin Luther King. All right?
Wow, man.
Right, so we ask, who are these so-called Jews anyway? Where did they come from? All right, in the Adam of their Bible, it said that they was created 6,000 years ago. And 6,000 is very significant because the Jews spell Adam as Adam, which is A-D-M. And in Hebrew numerology, that's equivalent to 144. All right? And the Kemetic says that 144 represents Aten, which was the invisible ET consciousness, which is actually talking about the central sun, Alcyon. All right, so it was a lot of connections with that. I don't think that's no coincidence, you know. And so when we see on another episode, there was four men coming out of the room, 306, and four men were Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson, Ralph Abernathy, and Andrew Young. And numerally, four men plus 306 equals 13. Steve Coakley already stated that originally King was in room 202. But someone moved his bags to 306. Now, who moved his bags? That was Billy Cow. Reverend Billy Cow bags and moved to change the room from 202 to 306.
So it was a ritualistic dawn as well.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
And then Martin Luther King was shot on April the 4th, 1968. And April being the fourth month, give us the number 44. Because April is 4 and then the 4. And if you was born in April, your astrological sign would be Aries, the first sign of the zodiac, and this gives us, once again, 144. So the number King represents the Boule.
Hmm.
So when we're talking about who these so-called, this spell, you know what I'm saying, we're talking about these Jews put the spell through via the Boule members.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? That's who orchestrating this, because we know that the Boule, which was W.E.B. Du Bois, was head of the NAACP. He was part of that, putting together, founding of the NAACP, as well as his Jewish constituents. All right? Wise. It was Wise. It was many members you know, white constituents who was actually members of the NAACP.
Right.
You know,
sure
we can
was.
Actually, mm-hmm, go ahead, brother.
That's it. Sure was, because I have heard that the last time I heard about W.B. Du Bois, he died in obscurity in Ghana.
Right.
In the age of 95, I think. I think he lived a long time. But he died in obscurity. I thought that was kind of, you know, odd for a man of his stature and his position.
Right. Well, what happened is that he broke away from the Boulay. And the same place that he...
Oh, that right?
Right, because he broke away. Because in the 1950s and 60s, he started writing more about true history of so-called blacks or, you know, in America. And he started becoming more of a Pan-Africanist and a nationalist in his theology. And so he ended up getting exiled from the United States and having to go to Ghana, go to Africa. Now, that's funny that he ends up going to Africa, the same place in which that he bashed Marcus Garvey just 30 years before.
Right.
And he himself has to end up going there and dying there.
Yeah, if he stayed here, they'd have killed him.
Right. Well, see, that's because that's because he broke away. Now, let me explain this, because we got the NAACP, which is the National Association of Advancement of Colored People. You know, that was founded in 1909, you know, by a group of Marxists, mulattoes, and millionaire Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most predominant was W.B. Du Bois, who will later become the leader of the Communist Party.
Yeah, I remember hearing it. Yeah.
Now, the first NAACP was not even Negro. It was a wealthy Jew by the name of Joel Spingard. He ran the organization until he retired in 1939. Then his brother, Arthur Spingard, became the head of the NAACP. Later, Kevi, a Jewish millionaire, shoe factorer from Boston, was NAACP president until 1966. Then for the first time in 57 years, they allowed the mulatto Roy Wilkins to take over. And that's when we begin to start seeing someone of what they refer to as colored.
Mm-hmm. What they call people of color.
Right. Now that's when we start seeing that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the whites was running that joint for almost 60 years before the so-called coloreds.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? And they're the ones in which they founded. But they needed, so that means they was founded specifically in order to do battle against Marcus Garvey Back to Africa movement, in which that was Marcus Garvey was trying to get us to go over there in order to dig and to get the gold and the silver and the oil and the diamonds from out of Africa in order to build here. As well
okay.
As well as there. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't going to be about, you know, as some people think, it was just going to be us going back to Africa and that was it. No, we was going to start building industry, manufacturers, distribution companies, you know, everything that we can possibly have in order to become self-sufficient.
I didn't know that if that man would have been successful, then know that at the end of the Albion rule.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? But that's the reason why they killed Gaddafi. You know what I'm saying? Allegedly. You know, even though I think that was one of the, I don't think that was actually him, but some people believe that, you know, most people believe that it was. You know
right.
What I'm
saying? Same thing I feel about Bin Laden, you know.
Right.
They killed the Gaddafi, well, Gaddafi wanted to base his currency there on silver and gold.
Right, exactly.
And that would have put the Western banking corporate industrialists in peril.
Exactly, and that's what he was getting ready to do, to form the AMF, which is the African Monetary Funds system, which would have rivaled the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, which is mostly European ran. So that would have been something in which that would have rivaled them.
You know, you got real substance.
Right,
have,
and plus you're going to have the money of Africa backed by gold.
That's right.
You know, so that would have definitely abolished their paper-for-paper system that they got going on around the world, you know, in which
right.
that they started back in the early 1900s, you know, on up into the 1930s and so on.
Well, they keep on talking about raising the debt ceiling and the debt limit, mind control of the people's minds there. You know, they keep talking about whether they're going to have another 4 more months, you know, or what, of federal spending, or what spending what. There's
mm-hmm.
no money.
Right.
So what are you spending? What are
exactly.
you cutting? You know, cutting what? You know, there's nothing to cut. There has been since 1935, since they took the gold off of the gold standard off of the market. So, it's still BS, you know, just BSing the people constantly.
Right.
You know, and I was talking about the Amero dollar. The brother said he haven't heard about it in a while. So, it's still there.
Right.
Well, look what happened to the currency in Europe.
Exactly.
No, there's no more francs, there's no more British shillings or sterling, or no more German marks, just the euro dollar.
The euro dollar, exactly.
Same thing they're going to do here.
Right. What they want to do here, except Mexico is holding them up. You know,
mm-hmm.
they Canada's on a board, of course, with the United States, but Mexico keep holding them up. So that's the reason why they haven't been able to bring it out. But the deal been in ink ever since 2005 with the North American Union, you know.
Okay.
You can order Ameros even today from out of being minted from Colorado, from a bank in Colorado. They are minting Amero dollars. You can go to www.coins. What is it? DC. 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 Dash coins, CIONS .com, DC as in District of Columbia, DC dash coins .com. So you can actually order and purchase Amero dollars, whether it's copper, silver, or gold. Now, there's a gold program in which that we're in which that, we love building on too. I know my wife too. And in which that if y'all go to our website, www.DrAlimElBey, that's DrAlimElBey.com. You can go to Opportunities for More, and you will see actually the information based on the gold and silver, in which that you can have something of substance also. The most substance thing that we can have, of course, is food and water. But next to that is silver and gold, because that is something in which that you can always barter for if you need gold, if you need water, if you need food or whatever you might need, some other type of resource, they always hold its value. So, you know, check that out. Matter of fact, we got a caller, 347. 347, you're on the line.
Oh, good night, Dr. Bay. Happy New Year.
Good night. How you doing? Happy New
good
Year.
Night.
Or
great show as always. I was just calling to inquire about next week. It's kind of like a pre-Black History Month. I wanted to interview an author. He's an author of 14 books. His recent book is called Never Get Fired Again.
Okay.
Then Dr. Gant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks. What time?
9 o'clock.
All right. Thank you so much. Great show.
All right, we got area code 205. Area code 205, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yeah,
can you
peace.
Hear me? Yeah, peace. Yeah, peace, Dr. Bay and Brother L. How y'all doing today?
You're doing good. You're doing good.
Doing fine. We're fine, boy.
All right. I just caught the tail end of the show here, and I see the topic is Dr. Martin Luther King. And I just had a question about I'll go back in the archives and listen to the rest of the show, but I was wondering, you know, I'm a truck driver, and I noticed that in every community I go through, you know, which is maybe not unusual or common to a lot of folks, but you see a lot of Dr. Martin Luther King boulevards and streets.
Right.
But I did wonder why are they all in black communities. I kind of know the reason why, but I just wanted you to kind of expound on that.
Well, I mean, of course, a lot of times the streets are in areas in which that appears to be run down, and that is done purposely because,
yep.
White supremacists don't want as they would say, this nigga in there, to be remembered in their community. So he has to go into our community, and that is fine, you know, and because that's where he needs to be at. You know, even though being a Boulay member, we still have to give him his props because, like we said, the last 3 years of his life, he changed dramatically when it came to his stance in the movement. You know what I'm saying? Like we said, even Harry Belafonte, that he felt when it came to integration that he felt like he was bringing his people into a burning building. So he started realizing the errors of his ways. And he started meeting with Malcolm X, started meeting with and started meeting with others and others. So he's definitely where he's supposed to be at. You know, he definitely belongs where he, you know, where he need to be at. And, of course, we know that, you know, him having a federalized holiday or recognition is nothing more than them pacifying us because of the fact that they murdered him, you know what I'm saying, as far as I'm concerned. So that is also one of the things, you know, going on, too.
Basically, yeah, that's what I kind of got from it as well, you understand. But like you said, you know, toward the end of his life, he did kind of open his eyes and kind of recognize, like you said, leading his people into a burning building. And, you know, like you said in that book, he offered a lot of information that I don't think a lot of people really opened their eyes up to and started to realize that not only it was about civil rights, which, like you said, there should have been more on human rights, you know, that I kind of found out later as well. But I just kind of wanted to hear your take on it. And I kind of wanted to ask you a question offline. Could I get your number there, if possible, brother?
Yeah, the number is 252-257-3588. That's 252-257-3588.
3588. Okay, I sure appreciate it. I went on your website there, and I was looking under the consultation part, and it didn't lead me to it.
Still under construction.
Hello?
Right. It's still under construction, but we're still adding, as my wife said. We're still adding on every day to it. Matter of fact, it's only been up for a couple of months, but we're gonna definitely take care of it. I don't know what happened here.
No problem. What you got is very, very, very informational and informative, and I appreciate that much. And like I said, I just wanted to call in and add in and see what you had to say toward that. And I'll listen in to the rest of the show and give you a call maybe after the show there, brother.
I appreciate you. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate that, brother. Yeah.
Hey, no problem.
All right.
Peace and love.
All right. You got any closing remarks about it? About all of this going on, Brother L?
Yes, sir. I was wondering, like, all Goddess.
Yeah, here she is.
What? Did she say anything? Sound like I heard her voice.
Yeah, I'm all in the background adding on. You know me, God. How you doing?
Okay. I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Goddess. Thought you wanted to say something.
Well, I'm constantly doing things, and right now I'm sitting up here making some Goddess bracelets, preparing for the 11th annual Ouachita Cruise. It's going to be a trip of the lifetime. So I'm preparing for those things, and we just had a whole bunch of guests today that really took care, you know. I just want to talk about the science of burning candles and you know, the whole energy is enlightening, but sometimes we have, like, negative forces that are around. The God would have never got assassinated. So, you know, just to stay on the topic, it's so important for us to be cleansing our souls, our spirits, our auric fields, taking baths with lemons or sea salt or 35% hydrogen peroxide. What it does is it helps to destroy parasites and different things on your auric field so you don't draw these types of energies and also so you can be in the right place at the right time. I know Prince Ramesses Abel Bey, I love him because Aileen broke him down on the First World Order. You can actually see the God's picture on the back of the book. But the whole science is to be in the right place at the right time. He was talking about how somebody had shot through a window that he was standing in, and he had stopped to pick up a penny so he could see the date that was on it. And as soon as he bent over, as soon as the bullet came in through the window, well, his head. So, you know, we want to make sure that we know that these forces are out here that don't want us to awaken, but we can also be in the right place at the right time. You know, dodge these negative forces, and the science of burning candles and taking cleansing baths is what I just want to emphasize. That's all.
Okay, sister. I appreciate that.
You know, God. just briefly break down the science of the candles. All the colors are like red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, and they all correspond to the sacred energy centers called the chakra system, and also correspond to the rainbow, because as without, also so within.
Right.
Say, for instance, your money is funny. Then burning a green candle and meditating on the abundance of the vibration of green from the trees, because you can also, like, if you don't feel like your energy is strong enough, you can grab from the Reiki energy from the trees. Aleem goes into that with his online classes every Sunday and Tuesday. But it's just a high science, and these things work, you know. Also, too, tapping in, like if you're dealing with court issues, you can do the vibration of blue so you can have justice in court, because we all know that if there's no injured party, civilis mortus, then there's no crime. Unfortunately,
right.
Time is still wasted under corpus electi and de facto law. So burning a blue candle for justice, you know, and also confidence, and also articulation, you know. So all these vibrations, that's blue. And then maybe there's an issue with love, or maybe you just want to just tap into more of it because it is wonderful. Then you can burn either a pink candle, a red candle, and a white candle. These vibrations bring passion and you know, strength. You know, that's why I like red, because red can also make it so that you have energy to move.
Right, a lot of energy.
You do.
That's a lot of energy in red.
Mm-hmm. And then orange. Orange is for, like, you can burn the orange vibration if you need a hug, or you haven't had enough love, or you did have enough love and you just want to spread it out to others who don't have it, because that's the wonderful thing, is that it can come from outside of you and spread to the children that need it, or to the adults that need it. So I love burning the orange vibration because it also can mirror with gold, and that brings positive energy to you. And it's also the energy of nurturing. You know, it helps to remove blockages from maybe that were gathered from when we were youth, when we were younger, you know. What other colors are there?
Well,
yellow. Yellow,
okay.
Is with the vibration of intellect. So all these sciences are powerful, and then you can get into the crystals. So it's just, we have so many keys. So, like, we have everything we need. But I can go on and on. I'm going to pass it on back to the God so we can stay on topic. But, you know, love and appreciate this outlet.
Appreciate you, Goddess.
And what she was also building on is the fact is that we have to definitely have our system in place. See, during this time period, they had the COINTELPRO, but what if we had our shaman or mediums or seers, you know, who was able to feel and see the energies, these negative energies as they was being projected, and offered us solutions to what was going on. See, this is what people is missing in this revolutionary movement. This is why I brought that issue up when I was debating Brother Seti from the book The Mau Mau, you know, which that was based on the people in Kenya, you know, getting the Britons from out there, out the country, and how they was able to defeat them. You know what I'm saying? Is that they did the same thing as the Haitians did, and that was to go back to their culture, which was to deal with their magic, you know what I'm saying, or their juju, or their voodoo, or voodan, as we would say. In other words, with the spirits, you know what I'm saying? This is what we tap into. So they have their technology, and we have ours. But when we don't tap into our technology, and we're not advanced enough in order to use their technology, because we know that they have more technology, then we at odds. We at loss already.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to go back into learning these particular sciences. You know, we have no choice. You know, we really don't, you know, dealing with them because they have more guns. You know, they have, you know, the intelligence. You know, they have biochemical warfare. They have,
right.
I mean, they have vast amounts of things in which they can utilize and have utilized. I mean, chemtrails, the fluoride in the water, the GMOs in the food, all of that is biological warfare. You know what I'm saying?
It is.
So, I mean, they have more means in order to disrupt a group of people or produce genocide on the people, you know. But we have to be able to combat that or counteract that in some shape, form, or fashion. And the only way we can do that is getting back to culture in which that, you know, which that followed, you know, or dealt with our forefathers and foremothers. You know what I'm saying? And that is basically what would be called our magic, you know what I'm saying, for lack of a better term. You know, so, you know, that's the way that I see it, and my wife is absolutely correct, is that based on those sciences, you would have been able to tell the negative forces because, like, for example, if there was a blue candle in which that is burning, in which that dealt with justice, those negative forces in which that was coming, like at Martin Luther King or anyone, you can actually see black around the top of the candle. And by that blackness being shown or by whatever image shows up on the candle glass after it's burned, if you're using a seven-day candle, then you will be able to see, you know, what is taking place. And there's a lot of people who understand these particular sciences because we know that from any object in which that you touch, you leave an auric residue, which means that you leave an essence of yourself, you know, on it. And it is there because it's a light impression. And from that light impression, which is consciousness, that candle can burn off of that consciousness. Now, this is just one facet. You know, there's many tools. I mean, there's many tools. You can use tarot cards. You can use shells, dowsing, coconut shells is one of the ways in which that they do within leaves, you know, dreams, visions. I mean, these are tools that can be used in order to see what was going on. And matter of fact, they said that when Martin Luther King died, you know, he was only 39. They said that his heart was like a 60-year-old because of so much stress and was that he was under.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's ridiculous.
But it is.
You know, and
but it's true.
And it's true. I mean, and you can look at his pictures. I mean, Martin Luther King looked older than 39 years old.
Right, he did.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just that fact. You know, so, I mean, these are things in which that we definitely have to be aware of, you know.
I wonder if it's okay for me to do the breathing exercise in front of the blue candles in case of justice.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You definitely want to expand your auric field in order to alleviate any leaks and holes within the auric field because when people are thinking negative thoughts, or when you have these negative thoughts yourself, it becomes detrimental to your own auric field.
Okay.
And, you know, that these people done cast a spell on us through us having to write our names on these tickets or name in court. I mean, you know, masonry, I mean, it's right there in court.
Right.
You know, if you don't appear in court, the sheriff or the bailiff comes forth and he say, "Heary, heary, heary." You know, John Stockton did not come to court. John Stockton did not come to court today. And therefore, we're going to issue an arrest, a warrant, you know, and, you know, blah, 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 for failure to come to court. You know, I mean, they're saying this, but they're doing it three times.
Right.
Which is Masonic.
Yeah. Three knocks.
Right, three knocks.
Three distinct knocks.
Exactly. They're saying your name three times.
Was Martin Luther King a Mason?
You know, and Martin Luther King happened to have been a Mason.
Was a noble trial.
And he was also, not just a Mason, but he was also an Alpha, if I'm not mistaken.
So was Mason a Mason?
So that means that he was after, you know, so Henry Minton, who formed the Alphas, and patterned the Alphas or the first fraternity, as well as all of the fraternity sororities after the Skull and Bones, Martin Luther King was in it. You know what I'm saying? So not only was he a Boule member, he was a Mason, he was also an Alpha Phi Alpha. You know, and so that's him going against all of that, you know what I'm saying, in a sense, is what led to his death and him expanding and broadening his ideology and philosophies, you know, to world issues and problems, you know, is what definitely happened. Like you said, he expanded it to human rights because we have gone beyond the scope of civil rights and of constitution.
Right. With the civil rights, you probably learned was a fraud anyway.
Right. Exactly. It was because you can't have civil rights unless you first is recognized as a human being. And it's
right.
Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, seen as a three-fifth person, then we're not even seen as a full in full life. We're still seen as civilists more, too, as my wife said. We're still seen as dead in the eyes of the law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the reason. And that's the reason why we was called black, you know, is based on the positive law of the term civilis mortuus, which had in the eyes of the law. You know.
Wow.
So I mean, you know, that's why I use the word black in order to you know help people recognize what's going on. But you know, I'm a Moor. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
Know, I'm an action. I'm a verb. I'm also a noun, but I'm not an adjective. I'm not descriptive. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you can say I'm a blackamoor, but you got to add the word amoor onto the word black. You can't leave it just black, which is just descriptive. If I have a computer, I wouldn't say, you know, pass me that black. You know, my computer is black. I wouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying? I would say pass me the computer. And the description of it is that it happens to be black.
Same thing with the word that you explained to me one time, Moorish.
Right, right, exactly, because that also becomes descriptive. You know, ish means to be like, and that's a descriptive or adjective. It makes, matter of fact, it makes the word Moor into an adjective when you say Moorish.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It becomes descriptive. You know,
right.
But if we're going to say that we are noun and that we are in proper persona sejuris, and we have to say more.
Gotcha.
We can't use descriptions. We have adjectives. We have to say what we are. And if you look up the word land in Black's Law Dictionary 4th edition, you will see the word Moors embedded inside of the definition, which instantly ties us back to a nationality or back to any land on which that a Moor walk on actually becomes our land because we're the oldest people on the face of the planet. There's no one in which that is older. You know, so we have the oldest genealogy. So we actually are God's chosen people. There's none in which that the Jews cannot bear or claim that they're the chosen people of God. They was not the first on this planet. They were the first to be created by us. You know, and that's what they're talking about 6,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the first on this planet.
Right.
They're not chosen. They're chosen by us, maybe, because we supposedly have made them. Based on all information, which that we've gone through, whether it's Walter Scott's Medica or Brother Bobby Hemmett breaking it down, or Elijah Muhammad talking about it in his Theology of Time, or the blacks, or the black man, message to the black man, or whatever the case may be, you know. But you know that's what's going on.
Peace, Miss. Still there, Moore?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
So was Masonry negative? If Noble Drolley was a Mason,
right.
Martin Luther King was a Mason. If Noble Drolley was a Mason, Martin Luther King was a Mason, is Masonry negative?
Is Masonry negative?
Right, that's what she's asking.
Well, Masonry actually is more science.
Right.
That's what you know. I've been heard. I've learned.
Great answer. Great answer. Because a lot of people have done away with that science and walked away negatively from it. But it's Egyptology, if you want to call it, or it's Kemetology,
okay.
If you want to call it. It's more of science. You're right, God.
Right. You know that's how I see it. Matter of fact, I taught some of that at my Masonic Lodge last Friday.
Right.
And I tell them, you know, there's a science of the Moors.
Right.
The Because of what the whistle master, the junior warden, and the senior warden station, you know how it's displayed in the courtroom.
Right, exactly.
You know,
mm-hmm.
triangular shape.
Right. Yeah, so it's patterned, so the courtroom is patterned off of Make Street. Well, it's also off the church. I mean, he's there as the reverend. He got on a robe, a black robe like a reverend.
Mm-hmm.
He got pews, which is everybody got to sit there behind on them hard ass benches. You know, like you know.
Human.
You're right, exactly. So I mean, everything is set up in that particular fashion.
Exactly.
You know? Right, so we have to know the symbolism and what we're dealing with. And plus, he's there as a reverend or as a court administrator, de facto as he is, to collect revenue. Hence the term reverend, because that's what they're there for. Revenue and reverend, you know what I'm saying, have the same root word.
Reverend.
Right.
Revenue.
Right.
Wow.
And then revenue.
I wasn't even hip to that.
Right. So anyone called a reverend, I'm scared of. That's why Jesse Jackson and Billy Kyle, they named reverend, so, you know, we can see where they was heading at.
Revenue.
Your title is revenue, right, exactly, you know. So, you know, I'd be wary of them type of cats, you know. Not saying that I can't, you know, get something from them, but I'm still be wary, you know.
Right.
Wait. Let me see if there's anything else that we need to build on. Can you use mirrors? Yes, you can use mirrors. There's no doubt about it. It's called iron. And, of course, you can use it. And it said, what's up with Jay-Z and the Rockefeller name? Of course, we know that's part of the ritual. You know, that was part of the ritual. Jay-Z, according to what we've been told, is actually a biological illegitimate son of a Rockefeller, you know what I'm saying? Possibly. Brother D. Brad broke that information down or has Rockefeller connections or ties. You know, it's a lot of things because as Brother D. Brad broke down a couple of weeks ago about it, he says that anybody else would have been using the Rockefeller name, being that they have so many trust in the Rockefeller name. There's no way in which that he would have been able to do so, you know, for all these years without it being some type of problem.
Right.
You know, so this is what this said to definitely, you know, because we know that, you know, the name Rockefeller got to be copyrighted in the trademark, you know, because they have trust.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't make any sense how he's able to utilize that brand for all these years. You know what I'm saying, for 15 years, you know, and not, you know what I'm saying, be sued about it. So,
what to tell you, what's going on.
Right, right. So somebody asked that question in the room, so I wanted to answer that. Okay, so I think that was all with the questions. So what we get ready to do is get on up off of here, and I got my last song that I definitely want to play. If there's any closing remarks,
I appreciate the knowledge you've been breaking down to me tonight, especially about the term reverend.
Right.
I didn't know, you know, especially about J. Edgar Hoover being a mulatto. I didn't know that.
Right.
You know, so I always learn something every Wednesday night when I be your co-host on the show.
No, right. Well, I appreciate you coming on and handling things with me. You know, and making it much more easier.
Oh, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Professor L, Brother Grand Sheik, and we're going to see you next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, my time, and of course.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to see you then. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Yeah.